So the women found the tomb empty. What an amazing surprise. They could not have imagined they'd find the tomb empty. They'd come to anoint his body. But instead they found the tomb empty and the body gone. The resurrection of Jesus, you see, changes everything. It changed their outlook on life and it changes ours. And it's the message this country and the West so desperately needs to hear. We used to be a Christian country, but we've fallen asleep at the wheel. We've more or less turned our back on God. Europe is in the grip of financial chaos. You've seen the queues outside the banks in Cyprus. Individuals are getting into ever-increasing debt. Climate change is threatening agricultural stability. Universal credit, educational reforms, new technologies are more like sticking plasters than getting to the heart of the problem. And what we need right now is a big poke in the ribs to wake us up. We need to recapture the truth of the resurrection. Because the resurrection changes our outlook in three ways. It changes our outlook on who Jesus really is. It changes our outlook on what life is really about. And it changes our outlook on what the future really holds. Firstly, it changes our outlook on who Jesus really is. You see, many people think that Jesus was just a good teacher of religious morals, or a mythological hero like Robin Hood, or maybe even a prophet or a miracle worker. But the fact that God raised him from the dead means that God reckons him to be the most significant person in human history. And you can't easily simply just throw out the eyewitness accounts. You see, it's as if Jesus won a kind of divine Nobel Peace Prize, a reward for perfect obedience, awarded only once to one unique person. And we can't dismiss Jesus as an awkward one-off. Yes, he rose from the dead, but when the scientist discovers an anomaly in his results, or when the astrophysicist discovers a unique asteroid, he doesn't dismiss it as an embarrassing freak event or a glitch in the system. No. These one-off occurrences force us to re-examine our theories and our laws. We don't naturally think a dead man can come back to life. Of course we don't. But if Jesus did, then it changes the way we think about everything. God would have raised my great-great-grandfather if he'd lived the perfect life. But he didn't. God holds us all to account, and the only one to come out of it well is Jesus Christ. And that means it's Jesus who must really take center stage in all our thinking and practice, both private and public, religious and political. And it's a great mistake to ignore the man God raised from the dead and appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So it changes our outlook on who Jesus really is. Secondly, it changes our outlook on what life's really all about. It's a great tragedy that in this world so many people are caught up in themselves, self-absorbed, worried about their image, clouded by anger, gripped by jealousy, crippled by the past, and unable to forgive, wondering if they'll ever be able to get their money out next week, wondering, getting more and more irritable as they get older. Of course, we all face genuinely tough circumstances, but if Jesus rose from the dead, it proves that God wants us to look beyond these present troubles, to reach out and enjoy something of that resurrection power in our daily lives. I remember Abraham, who as good as sacrificed his son Isaac because he reckoned that God could raise the dead. And isn't that what Paul says as well? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You see, it's not for nothing that God brings life out of death and joy out of grief. It wasn't for one man's benefit or for one generation 2,000 years ago that he chose to reveal such power. And it's not for nothing that we retell these events week by week, year by year, because God wants us to participate in that power today, to see it for ourselves, which is why he'll put us through the mill at times, so that we see him acting to bring us out of it. Of course, it is a mostly future benefit, this resurrection, but let's not miss out on the present implications. God doesn't want us to struggle on interminably in anger or in sadness or in frustration, wishing we were someone else perhaps. This power to turn things round is there for us, just waiting for us to ask him to intervene. I bet each one of you here today can think of something that's weighing heavily on your heart. Something you wish was different. A person you care for, maybe. Why not dare to pray a prayer, something specific, to ask God to intervene and change things round, something on your heart? You see, the eternal life that God promised starts now for those who turn to Christ in faith. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He doesn't want to give us the leftovers, but the whole five courses, or as much as you can eat. The resurrection changes this outlook on life. A life marked by joy and gratitude and love. Not necessarily without pain and heartache, but pain and heartache undergirded by joy and gratitude and love based on this resurrection power. So it changes our outlook on who Jesus really is. It changes our outlook on what life's really about. Thirdly, it changes our outlook on what the future really holds. You see, many people believe that this is the only life there is, and the end of life is a big full stop which looms large in the subconscious of so many. But again, the resurrection changes our outlook on life and what the future holds. Death has lost its sting. The fact that Jesus smashed the chains of death proves that it's not the case. Eternal life starts when we come to Jesus Christ in faith, with continuity between this life and the next. And the physical resurrection has inaugurated the new creation for us already. That new creation, of course, will be a place where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. But by faith, it has already started. And nobody's at the door asking you for money to come into this new creation. It's totally free. So let me finish on with the words of Isaiah, who said, "Come, everyone who's thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what does not satisfy?"